Almost everyone's life is busy every single day. As a parent, you help your children with homework while making dinner. Then follows bath time and bedtime routine. Parents with older children are found attending volleyball or basketball games and various other school events. Many of us may have a to-do list or a honey-do list, and so on. As a student, you are busy with school and homework. You are busy with sports and band and school leadership. As an employer or employee, you are busy with work. As a church member or office bearers, you are busy with youth group, school board meeting, various committee meetings and constituency meetings, deacon meetings, home visits, and other church business. The above mentioned are all good things for us to do to serve and glorify God. As a Christian, we have many appropriate responsibilities. Sometimes, however, good things can get in the way of better things when we fail to prioritize our activities properly. When we let ourselves be distracted by the good stuff, we miss out on the better things. It is well illustrated by the story of the two sisters, Martha and Mary. Let's examine the story and see what Jesus lessons for us through this story. Therefore, I'm preaching to you this morning under this theme. Jesus calls believers to the top priority of his presence. And under this theme, we'll share 2 points. The first point is contrasting conduct of Martha and Mary. A second point, the voice of the Lord and our lessons. Now the first point, contrasting conduct of Martha and Mary. Our story begins with verse 38. It says, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, it raises several questions here. First, where were Jesus and his disciples going when they were on the road? Now, chapter 9, verse 55 tells us that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. So Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the cross, on his way to death. It gives a turn to everything that follows. The second question is, where was this village that Jesus entered? Where? Luke does not tell us, but John's Gospel tells us that the name of this village was Bethany. It was very close to Jerusalem. That is about 3 kilometers. The third question is, who was Martha? She was the sister of Mary, who anointed Jesus' feet with perfume, and the sister of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead by Jesus. That means Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were from one family. Most theologians believe that Martha was the oldest and the head of the house. According to the Gospel of John, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were friends of Jesus. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus loved all three of them. However, in Gospel of Luke does not say whether they were really Jesus' disciples or not. Anyway, Martha welcomed Jesus to her house, showing a typical hospitality. Whether they had known Jesus before or not, we do not know. But by the invitation of Martha, Jesus came to her house and she became busy serving. We are not told what exactly she did, but according to the customs, she is no doubt that she began preparing a meal for her guests. Brothers and sisters, it's no coincidence that our text follows the Good Samaritan narrative. The lawyer was a man who refused to be hospitable even to those in need. And here we see a woman welcome Jesus into her house. No doubt this was a town that disciples had already visited, for they had been sent by Jesus not long ago to preach the kingdom of God and to heal. The village people had received and entertained them. Jesus referred to this in Luke chapter 10, verse 8, where he commanded his disciples, saying, "When you enter a town, the people receive you, eat what is set before you." Hospitality then and now was an essential culture norm in the Near East and a hallmark of the early church that followed Jesus. As such, it's essential in the biblical world in general and in Luke's gospel particular. Therefore, welcoming Jesus, all his disciples, was a sign of receiving the message of the kingdom of God, which is what they proclaimed. To receive the message of Jesus is to receive the message of Jesus. So this verse tells us that Martha was a supporter of Jesus. She was doing a good thing by welcoming Jesus into her home. Here we should think about this. People of the Samaritan village recorded in chapter 9 did not welcome Jesus and his disciples. If Martha had done the same to them by not opening her home to Jesus, she would probably not have received her brother Lazarus, who was later raised from the dead. Did you see the rich blessing Martha received when he welcomed Jesus into her home? And think of the rich blessings we had received when we welcomed Jesus into our hearts and our lives. Verse 39 says, Martha had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Notice that the spouses of Martha and Mary are never mentioned. It seemed like that they were single or widowed. Mary sat at the Lord's feet. The original Greek word used here to describe Mary means sitting next to. It encompasses the concept of closeness. So we get a picture of her sitting next to God, enjoying closeness and intimacy in his presence. Her posture is very important. Sitting at the Lord's feet is the ancient tradition where a student or a disciple would sit at the feet of someone in authority. So in Acts chapter 22 verse 3, we find that Paul was brought up and educated at the feet of Gamaliel, the rabbi in the Jewish law. And thus, her posture indicates that she was a student while Jesus was a teacher. She submitted to his authority. The Bible says that she sat and listened. She was one of those who really listened to his word. She accepted the words and pondered what they meant for her. She was a serious student. However, Mary was doing something that women were not usually allowed to do in the first century, becoming a teacher's disciple. Thus, women were exempt from the study of the law at that time. Our text says that she sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to his teaching. According to the Greek text, this verse means she was listening to his words or message. The tense of the verb indicates continuous, attentive listening. Notice that she was listening to his word and not to idle talks or gossip. We are not being told what he was teaching. Perhaps he's explaining the gospel to her, or possibly describing his experience and sharing its meaning. But on the other hand, he could also be instructing her on becoming a better follower. Whatever he said to Mary, she clung to his every word and listened intently to everything he said. In other words, her attention was focused entirely on Jesus and his every word. The word of the Lord so attracted her, it was as if she had been carried into another world. The cares of this life had departed, and all she was concerned with were the words of life that came from the Savior's heart and lips. Do you feel the peace in Mary's heart? She was at peace, content to listen to and be with her Lord. Her time with Jesus was more important to her than anything else. She was more concerned with being a good disciple than a good hostess. However, verse 40 of our text tells us that Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." The portrait we see here is that Martha was very busy in her serving. It is understandable, since the disciples were almost likely in her house as well. Although verse 38 reads, "they were traveling," and this plural immediately becomes singular for him. He was welcomed in Martha's house. But this does not mean that 12 disciples suddenly left Jesus. The singular is used because he was naturally the leader of the group. A similar reference to the singular referring to Jesus when implying the presence of his disciples can be seen in Luke chapter 6 verse 1. That verse says, on a Sabbath, while he was going through the green field, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. Therefore, she had to prepare meals for a considerable number of people, at least 16. No doubt, she was trying to keep up with the social expectations of the time as to how to treat honored guests. The word distraction means to be pulled away from something and overburdened with something. Martha was overburdened by all the work he had to do. Poor woman. We feel for her, don't we? If we use modern kitchen language to describe Martha's work, the result might be somewhat as follows. She thinks that she simply could not possibly take care of all the details of this elaborated meal by herself. Appetizer, salads, meat, vegetable, dressings, bread, dessert, arranging guests around the table, and so on and so on. It's actually a very familiar picture of our lives in the 21st century. Every day, many different demands and concerns are vying for your attention. Each day you feel put in another direction. Your job needs you. Your spouse needs you. And kids need this. And house requires that. Until we are so distracted and so frustrated that we cannot seem to get anything done. We wear so many hats every day. We probably often feel that we are too busy, don't we? Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to him. But Martha was pulled in many different directions. You know what that's like, don't you? You experience the being snowed under, distracted by many jobs. You wanted to help, but did not know where to turn. We've all experienced this too. In fact, we are all lot like Martha. Martha was not involved in wrongdoing or bad things, nor was she engaged in sinful activities. She was serving. In fact, she was serving Jesus. What's wrong with that? What is the sin in that? Martha's problem was that she was too serious, distracted in her serving. She missed what Jesus wanted her to do that afternoon. She missed the joy of sitting at Jesus' feet, enjoying his presence and listening his life-giving word. Martha was so overwhelmed by all her distractions that she became angry at being left in the kitchen. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, now don't miss this little word, Lord." The first word that came out of Martha's mouth was confessing that Jesus was her Lord. Well done, Martha. But Martha, who had just confessed that Jesus was her Lord, then rebuked him. First, she asked Jesus if she did not care that Mary had left me to serve alone. Serve alone was Martha's question in a nutshell. Martha was serving Jesus alone. And whenever we do that, whenever we serve alone, whenever we serve in our own strength, we are exhausted. Each of us cannot tell how many times we have tired to serve the Lord alone without stopping to refresh ourselves in the presence of the Lord. We need to know that recuperating in the presence of the Lord is as vital to our spiritual life as it is to our serving itself. Then Martha asked Jesus to command Mary, "Tell my lazy sister to come and help me in the kitchen." Well, of course, these are not the exact words our text says, but that is what Martha meant. Furthermore, Mary's gesture embarrassed Martha and humiliated the family. Imagine that. A woman sitting at the feet of Jesus like a man. For Martha, on this occasion, the woman's place was not started with the guests, but preparing meals for her guests in the kitchen. Martha felt that she had a good reason to be annoyed. In her outburst of irritation, she found fault in Mary and she found fault in Jesus for allowing Mary just to sit there idly. Martha thought that Mary and Jesus were the problems. But the problem was neither that Mary did not help Martha, nor that Jesus allowed Mary to just sit at his feet. The real problem was Martha's exclusion of Jesus. Martha served alone, but it was not Mary's fault. Instead, it was Martha's fault. Martha also needed to sit at feet of Jesus. But yet, she was so busy with the things that she did not have time for Jesus. It is the same problem we face today, brothers and sisters. As doers, we must be aware of this. We are sometimes so involved in doing things for Jesus, just so intent on doing things for Him, that we do not spend time in Jesus. We do not spend time in pure communion with Him. We do not spend time listening to His Word. We do not spend time in Bible study. We even do not spend enough time in prayer. Jesus had to refuse and not grant Martha's request. Jesus would not refuse Mary to sit at His feet. How could He tell Mary to leave His feet? How could Jesus tell Mary to choose distracting, frustrating activities and service over the sweetness of sitting at the Savior's presence and learning from Him? He could not tell Mary to leave, but He could counsel Martha and gently rebuke her. This brings us to the last point, the voice of Jesus and our lessons. In our text, verse 41, Jesus answered Martha. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary." Martha, Martha. Jesus repeats Martha's name as a gentle rebuke. It reveals marked disapproval, to be sure, but also tender affection and grief concern. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are anxious and troubled about many things." So the truth is, Martha was not just upset that Mary wasn't helping. Actually, she was full of worries and concerns. We too often blame other one for a small things when in reality we are just upset about many other unrelated things. Finally, we reach that saturation point, and then we just unload on whomever happens to be nearby. Likewise, just as Martha welcomed Jesus into her home, we are doing praiseworthy things. But the results of a busyness are often not good, along with stress, insomnia, headaches, and other physical symptoms. We become like Martha. We become so well overwhelmed by our busyness that we become like her. We become self-centered, seeing only what we have to do in the whirlwind of our activities and the world. Even when we serve others, we're trying to include them in our business and make them anxious and troubled, as Martha trying to do with Mary. So our business and anxiety are contagious. We can become people who often make demands on the Lord. We are too busy to fix our overcommitted life problems by making better choices. So we want the Lord to provide us with compensation, to make things work out perfectly. Lord, please fix this problem. Lord, please fix that problem. It is how we actually pray. We do not act to solve problems. We just want to help to maintain and even increase our ability to stay busy. Martha was anxious and troubled about many things, and Jesus reached out to her in compassion, knowing that when you are up to your neck, when too much is stressing you out, Jesus will have mercy on you too. This kind of a situation, you need to hear these words of Jesus to Martha, because they are also addressed to you, to us all. We should know that Jesus did not say, we should notice what Jesus did not say. He did not say that only one thing was right or important. Jesus did not condemn Martha for her service to her, to him. What she did was neither wrong nor unimportant. However, there was only one true necessary thing. Martha was so involved and distracted by many things that she neglected this one true necessary thing. Only one thing, says Jesus, is real necessary. But some have interpreted this saying as to mean only one dish would have been needed. But what immediately follows certainly favors the other and wider held interpretation, namely, the one thing necessary is the portion Mary has children, that is, sitting at Savior's feet and listening to his word. Can there, in fact, be anything greater than value than wholeheartedly devotion to an adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of God, triune God? The question is asked at times, but was not Jesus a bit unfair to Martha? After all, did she not have a case? The following must be borne in mind. Except for finishing touches, the meal should have been ready when Jesus and his group arrived. We have enough reason to believe that he had taken care that his hostess knew that he's coming. Was he not always sending men ahead to announce his arrival? Listen to Psalm 119:57-64. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your word. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think of my ways, I turn my feet to my testimony. I hasten and do not delay keeping your commandments. Though the course of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fears you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Martha thought she needed Mary's help, but what she needed was the Lord Jesus. God does not need our service, but instead, we need him. So we need to have our minds and hearts focused on one thing rather than being distracted by many things. When we sit at the feet of Jesus and let him guide our lives, he gathers all the pieces together. Just as a magnifying glass focuses scattered rays of light into a single line. And Jesus focuses all the dimensions of our lives into a cohesive Godward direction. In verse 22a, Jesus tells Martha, Mary has chosen a good portion. There are many things in life that you can choose. Have you chosen the good portion as Mary did? With the limited time and resources in life, you have to choose something. So, what will you listen to? What will you read? What will you watch? What will you study? How will you spend your time? You cannot do it all, so you have to be selective. Mary decided to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. And it turned out to be the good portion she had chosen. Bible cost us great wisdom. This will help you make all other right choices throughout the day and strengthen you to keep going forward. But first, you must learn from God and you must obey his word. Then you must sit beside Jesus and approach him in worship and prayer. For some theologians, this passage tries to set up a choice for readers. Do you choose to be Mary or you choose to be Martha? Do you choose to sit down or do you choose to serve? But this is a false proposition, false dilemma. Here, it is not saying that Martha's choice was wrong, but Mary's choice was right. But Jesus is with them here and now. And all we need is attention to him and focus on him. This means that we do not have to choose between activism and contemplation. We need to choose a balance that makes us whole, free of distraction and worries. We need to focus on what is important in faith. Both are important. But you must allow your service to grow out of the way you sit. When you sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him, you will not serve Jesus less, but serve him better. There is a time to serve, and there is a time to sit quietly. And Jesus says, sit down first. In today's society, busyness is a means of avoiding facing the complexity of the world. By staying busy, we never ask ourselves difficult questions. We keep ourselves busy. Busy. So we don't need to set priority. As a Christian, we need to slow down. Practice the art of vigilance. Wait. Rest. And be ready to act when required. If we are too busy and constantly running around, we may miss the most important opportunities. It is too easy for the church to become bloated with so many projects that we forget the most crucial purpose. The wisest thing that church can do is know that it is a time to stop some activities if the purpose of everyone serving Christ has been lost. That is the time to have fellowship with God, study and listen to His Word. In all our busyness, don't forget that only one thing is truly necessary. It is not the next task on your do list. It is not to serve others, but to enjoy the Lord Himself. Jesus tells Martha in verses 42b, the good portion that Mary chooses will not be taken away from her. Mary's time spent at the feet of Jesus will not be in vain. That and the same thing else is of that dish of food. For example, is a portion that is never be removed from Mary, or for that matter, from anyone who copies her example. But Jesus implying that Martha's extremely zealous action were being wasted. Therefore, her service would also be taken away, for her actions were of no lasting value. Why not? Because they did not derive from the center, from Christ's strength and presence and guidance. When serving for Jesus becomes a substitute for a relationship with Jesus, it loses its eternal value. Jesus said only one thing was truly necessary. Mary chose the good part, and that will not be taken away from her. We should all ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, how often in your busy life have you actually sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to His teaching? How often do you really come to the Lord and learn His ways? Do you have time in your busy schedule? When there's a little time, are you really studying and listening to His Word? Are you still busy thinking about other things? It's a matter of priority. While everything you do may be good, beneficial, and even relatable. But you got to know that there is nothing more important than being with the Lord and learning from Him. If you are so busy that you don't have time to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen and learn from His Word, then you really need to reevaluate your life correctly, because your priorities have been misplaced. Simply put, if all you know is to be busy for Jesus, then even too busy, then you are really too busy. I've heard this phrase recently, and its truth ran true in my heart as I heard it. If the devil cannot make you bad, he will make you busy. May we all learn something valuable from Mary's example and Jesus' teaching, and take action to make things right. In this way, we can make the right choices, and we need to spend time with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, many of our busyness and distractions do stem from the noblest intentions. We would like to be good parents, and we want to provide our children with opportunities to enrich their lives. We want to be a successful and caring employer, or a good, responsible, and productive employee. We would like to serve our neighbors, and yes, we want to serve our church, our reformed community. We want to serve the Lord. In fact, what would the church be without Marthas, the faithful who work in hospitality and serve to make the church a welcoming and well-functioning community? However, if all our activities leave us with no time to be still in the presence of the Lord and listen to the Word of God, we are likely to end up feeling anxious and troubled. We are most likely to end up with a service that lacks love, joy, and resentment towards others. Listening and doing, both receiving God's word and serving others, are vital to the Christian life, as the breathing in and breathing out is to breathing. Yet, we often forget to take a deep breath in. We usually try to serve without being nourished by the Word of God, like expecting good fruit to grow from an unrooted tree. This is an exciting lesson about the prioritization. Of course, God does not want us to let our families go hungry while we give up our jobs and read the Bible all day. We need to take care of those things that are important. However, God wants us to let go of those things that are not important and focus on those things that are. It is this divining line that can sometimes cause us to distress. In this case, Martha felt obliged to be the hostess and serve everyone. Maybe there's another way. Or perhaps it can be put off a little later. We all are careful about many things, but still bothered by them. But few things are really worth the amount of time we spend worrying about. Can you imagine, for example, if we as a society spend as much time thinking about the gospel as we do losing weight? If we spend a lot of time talking about Christ as we do talking about other people? What if we worried as much about the preparation of our spiritual lives as we do about our money? God should always be our priority and is most important of all things. But too often, our thoughts and actions are focused on the things that really do not matter. Today, brothers and sisters, today, let's start to make some better choices about the things we spend our time doing and worrying about. Sure, we need to take care of ourselves and our lives, but like Mary, let's choose to stop worrying and sit back listen to Jesus as much as we can. Amen.